what I'm thoughtful of is what my constituents say, and in this particular case, what my constituents are saying is what my colleagues' constituents are saying across the state. What I have heard from most folks is everybody loves the Paw Sox, everybody wants them to stay in the state of Rhode Island, and they're hoping they stay, but they don't want public monies to go into keeping them in the state of Rhode Island. I've heard that pretty universally in my district and other districts. So in order to go forward with the public-private partnership, the public's going to want to be part of that partnership.
If the Paw Sox wind up leaving Rhode Island, would that represent a failure of leadership by the state's elected officials?
No, it would just may reflect the will of the people of the state of Rhode Island. Whatever public-private partnerships the state enters into has to be something that is, number one, good for the taxpayers, and number two, something that the taxpayers are interested entering into. And if they're not interested in entering that, then it's not a failure, it's just that their will is being accomplished. There is no compelling reason to do a ballpark, so you have to listen to the will of the people.
It seems like your constituents have a lot of influence over some issues like the Paw Sox, the car tax. Is that a good thing that the constituents of one House district may be having a disproportionate influence over policy at the statewide level?
Well, that's the way you frame the question. What I find is that my constituents are pretty reflective of what I'm hearing from all of my colleagues. As I've said, I poll my colleagues. There's not a lot of them that are anxious to do the Paw Sox, and that is because they're hearing the same thing from their constituents. And the car tax, I hear that statewide. That's universally loved proposal, and we listen to folks from throughout the state, and on those two issues, people are pretty universally in agreement.
We see how the state faces roughly a $260 million deficit for the current and next fiscal year. Why is the state having so much difficulty reducing these kinds of deficits?
We have a lot of health care costs, a lot of human service costs, Medicaid, Medicare, DCYF. Those are cost drivers that are increasing disproportionate to the increase in our revenue. So that causes a structural deficit. We have to get our expenses under control. We've been working with the administration, and in order to address the structural deficit, we have to look at all spending, and we're starting to look at things anew. We have to look at regulatory reform again. We have to get our economy moving a little more robustly in the future. And we have to be very cautious as to how we spend our dollars.
And if it's this difficult reducing the deficit now when the unemployment rate is just about 4.2%, what does that portend if there's a downturn in the economy?
I don't think that because the unemployment rate is down, we are benefiting from the very best economic conditions. So we have to improve our economic conditions and the robustness of our economy and increase our revenues. Our revenues just a few short years ago were on the rise at a greater level than they are right now.
What are your top priorities for 2018?
My top priority for 2018 is going to be the budget, as it is actually in each and every year. In that budget, I'm going to be looking at things that promote economic activity, that lessen the burden of folks, regular folks.
Such as?
In the economy. Well, number one, the car tax. We'll make sure that the citizens of the state of Rhode Island continue to get car tax relief. The second year of the car tax phase-out is going to be in the budget, and people are going to get that relief. I think that'll go a long way towards people recognizing that their government is finally listening to them, because that's what I think people want. I think people want to know that their government's listening to them and executing what they want for their benefit and their family's benefit. So we're going to make sure we get that done, and we have to look at the structure of government. And I think we all acknowledge that we have a structural deficit. We have to address it, and we're going to start this in this budget.
Completely eliminating the car tax will cost the state in excess of $220 million a year. It sounds like your view is that it's worth that despite the stress that places on the budget. How come?
Because that's what the people want, and we're here to serve the people. And for 10 years, I've heard people across the state being frustrated at having the highest, most oppressive car tax in the country, and that's not competitive, it's not fair. It creates discontent amongst the citizens, and we're here to serve them, not create discontent and uneasy feelings. We're going to do what the taxpayers want us to do and phase that out. And, you know, that's just one item of the budget. Everyone is assuming that everything else stays the same or goes up. We have to look at the structure. We have to look at our debt. We have to look at the new burdens that we continue to add year after year and limit that a little bit and make sure that we're doing what the public wants us to do and not otherwise.
The U.S. is going through a kind of reckoning right now about the issue of sexual harassment. Are you aware of any other instances of alleged sexual harassment at the State House other than what Representative Teresa Tanzi has described?
No, I am not, and you'd have to talk to Representative Tanzi regarding her allegations.
Has the General Assembly ever paid out any money to settle sexual harassment claims?
Not to my knowledge.
Is there a process if staffers or lawmakers want to report an allegation of sexual harassment?
Yes, you go to our Human Resources Department, and there's folks that they can report it to, or they're free to come to me if they need to. Because of the current environment, we're actually going to give all our employees a little additional training.
You faced a close re-election fight for your state rep seat in 2016. Did you give any thought at all to not seeking re-election as a state rep in 2018?
No, not at all. I love the job. My mission is not accomplished. I'm very mindful of the fact that to get the car tax repeal actually to the finish line, I'm going to have to stay in office. Otherwise, I'm convinced the repeal will be repealed and the taxpayers won't get that benefit. We did the first year of a six-year phase-out, so five more years. And I'll either fully see it through or get it through the majority of it and make sure someone's left behind that's committed to getting it done. Every election cycle is different. We all know that was a unique Trump year. There was some voter discontent. I happen to agree with the voter discontent, so I agree with it. I'm addressing that, and I'm making sure that what the voters want and expect is what we do. Too many of us, and I say us very collectively, don't always listen to the public, and they're tired of that. Whatever it takes, whatever chunk of the budget it takes, we are going to address the will of the people, and we're going to make sure that our folks are content. I've been getting very good feedback from my constituents, so I'm very comfortable where I'm situated in my district and the feedback that I'm getting, and I look forward to the election.
House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello, thank you for sitting down with us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Ian.